It is Tuesday, November 5th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Callums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Ozarks at Large is sponsored in part by the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle, whose mission is to transform and expand women's giving to university programs and research through a collective voice.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, we spend time with a student who is part of the Autism Support Program at the University of Arkansas, a program developed 2 years ago on campus. And we'll also find out about the plans for Nerdies, a program that will cater toward young people who might not want to spend time on the field or the court, but working with other hobbies and pastimes.
First, Governor Beebe says steps are being taken to fix problems with the state's parole system. The problems came to light when an 8-time absconder who had stopped reporting to his parole officer was arrested in May for a kidnapping and murder in Little Rock. Governor Beebe says people who aren't checking in are now being picked up.
There's no excuse for 570 or anything else to keep bad guys that are dangerous to the public safety out of jail. Public safety comes first. Bad guys got to go to jail. And we all know we got to pay for it. I mean, you know, it's not free. The days when they used to run prisons back in the 50s at no cost to the taxpayer have long since gone away.
Governor Beebe says the legislature will need to allocate more money to covering the cost of housing a growing state prison population. Thousands now waiting to go back to prison are currently being housed in county jails. Benny Magnus, chairman of the State Board of Corrections, and Sheila Sharp, interim director of the Department of Community Correction, say more people tracking parolees are needed.
This agency here, Sheila's agency, needs more parole officers to keep that caseload down. They got to keep the cases down. What is the caseload in Little Rock now?
Our average caseload statewide is about 118 per officer. National average would have it at around 60. That lets you know how short we are in supervision.
Officials are also looking at using tracking devices in home detention to reduce the number of people being housed in prisons.
Early voting began today in Fayetteville for 3 bond issues. Voters will decide the fate of 3 separate bond proposals, including one that will fund an expansion of the Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville and another to finance expanded parks. Election Day proper is a week from today, November 12th. Revenue numbers for October show the state collected $17 million more this year than when compared to the same period last year, while continuing to beat predictions. The Arkansas Department of Finance and Administration said yesterday, so far this fiscal year, the state has collected nearly $38 million above the forecast, as individual and corporate income tax collections were higher than expected. But state economist John Shelnut warns the excess may be needed later this year.
Year-to-date amount above forecast, the $37.8 million, might be necessary because of tax strategy used by high-income taxpayers to shift income to tax year 2012. And now we're on the downhill side of that strategy where we may have a shortfall later in the year and we could see some of this money go back.
Shelnut notes federal tax rates were lower in fiscal year 2012, prodding many wealthy taxpayers to shift their taxes to that year. Income tax collections also offset a drop in the amount of sales tax collections.
Construction is underway today at the Wilson Park Pool in downtown Fayetteville. Carol Jones, a city park planner, says the renovations being done to the buildings at the city pool are part of a larger renovation effort at the facility built in the 1930s.
Last year, we renovated the exterior. We redid the pool surface and the deck. And so this is kind of phase 2 of the overall renovations, and it's for the actual buildings. The pool building, the concession building, and then there's a chemical pump storage building.
The renovation will bring better Americans with Disabilities Act accessibility to the pool and to locker rooms and restroom facilities. Also, the entryway to the pool will be reconfigured to allow for better flow. Jones says the overall upgrades at the pool will bring it closer to feeling like a new facility.
The pool house and buildings were last renovated in 1983. So this is a long overdue renovation on the buildings themselves. Now, the deck and the pool surface, I don't recall when those were last renovated before they were redone last year. But we received a lot of good feedback, especially on the pool surface itself. And I think people were satisfied with the deck as well. But it was just really long overdue and just trying to keep a facility that everybody really, really loves in the city of Fayetteville.
The nearly $404,000 project is being paid for with the Parkland Dedication Fund and is expected to be completed by the beginning of the next swimming season.
The longtime lobbyist for the University of Arkansas has announced he will retire in the coming year. Richard Hudson, the university's Vice Chancellor for Government and Community Relations, has represented the U of A to state and federal lawmakers and to local political and community leaders for 20 years and under the leadership of three different chancellors. He also helped organize the Political Animals Club of Northwest Arkansas in 1996, and he also helped form the University of Arkansas Legislative Advocacy Network, which includes more than 500 alumni. His retirement is effective July 31st.
The Walton College of Business at the University of Arkansas has more reason to celebrate. Not only has the school's business graduate program been ranked highly by U.S. News and World Reports, but a recent ranking places the school's graduate program among the top 10 programs for career support of its students. The website graduateprograms.com placed the Walton College ninth with 9.39 stars out of 10. The website's rankings are determined by compiling 40,000 ratings posted on its site by students at more than 1,200 different graduate business programs around the country. The rankings were based on ratings amassed between September 2012 and September of this year.
The Arkansas soccer team is advancing at the SEC tournament being played in Alabama. Yesterday, the Razorbacks shut out Missouri 4-0 to move on to the quarterfinals. On Wednesday, Arkansas will face the tournament's top seed, Florida, Wednesday evening at 5.
Tonight, showers and possibly a thunderstorm can be expected with lows from 50 to 54 degrees. Tomorrow there's a 50% chance of showers before noon, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with highs from 51 in northwest Arkansas to 57 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow night, expect mostly clear skies with lows in the 30s.
This is Ozarks at Large. 2 years ago on the program, we reported on plans by the University of Arkansas to establish a support program for students diagnosed with high-functioning autism and pervasive developmental disorders. The program is running now. It's in its second year. And Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has an update.
Yeah, I might study a little bit more.
Okay. And what about perspectives? Did you have anything left?
I got everything taken care of in that.
Good for you.
19-year-old biology major Michael Tully Kritzberg checks the University of Arkansas online Blackboard to schedule his academic day. Gloria Garrison Spalter, his academic coach, looks over his shoulder, murmuring words of encouragement.
Your email's all cleaned out. That's nice.
Yep.
Tully, his preferred name, is a biology major with his career sights set on the oceans.
It's because you're like, that's where the most diversity is, and according to the most popular theory, is where we all came from, so.
Tully spent his childhood in Florida, but moved to the Ozarks with his family 3 years ago, and this incoming freshman is taking a full load of classes his first semester.
I like them. Right now I'm currently taking college algebra with a view, world geography, introduction to biology lecture, English composition, biology lab, and university perspectives.
Plus, he's also enrolled in the university's autism support program, which is helping him to navigate both academia and college life. His coach, Gloria Garrison Spalter, says Tully is nailing it.
I think he's doing really well. He comes in and he's open to suggestions, but he's great at making a plan and having a great conversation and feedback, and I think he's really on top of things.
This program is the only one like it in Arkansas, established 2 years ago by Director Dr. Aliza Green, who works in the College of Education and Health Professions.
This year, we have 9 students enrolled in the program. We have 5 academic coaches who do a combination of sort of one-on-one coaching during the day and study hall, group study hall in the evening. And right now, we have 5 peer mentors as well. And our students are getting about 20 hours a week of service.
The program began last year with 5 students and will eventually accommodate 20. College Autism Spectrum, an independent association for professionals in the field, lists 2 dozen 2- and 4-year colleges that provide autism program support. many for a fee. The University of Arkansas charges $5,000 per semester, but services offered are comprehensive and incredibly intensive.
Not really content tutoring, but time management, organizational skills, communicating effectively with their instructors or their teaching assistants, keeping on track on top of all of their schoolwork. I mean, I should say that the coaches are all people who have at least a bachelor's degree. A bunch of them are grad students here at the university in a variety of subjects. I look more for the right temperament and commitment to working with our students rather than somebody who's studying a particular field. But we also have peer mentors, and those are undergraduates. And they are, a lot of them are from the communication disorders major. They are people that I hire to be the friend of my students. They meet once a week one-on-one, and they hang out just like any two friends might. And that's also a weekly appointment that our students have with their peer mentor. And I also have hired a particular peer mentor who is an RA in the dorm in which they live. And that mentor works on visiting the suites, the dorm rooms, to make sure that things are sort of clean, to make sure that the suite mates are getting along with one another, nobody's hogging the TV or the goldfish crackers or something like that. And I also have asked her to do some things with our students to help them figure out life on campus.
One in every 88 American children are on the autism spectrum, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, a 78% increase since 2002. And every individual is unique. High-functioning individuals are often gifted, but may have difficulty with communicating and reading social cues. They might tend to isolate and become fixed on certain routines and interests.
I would say that there is great interest in our students in being social and in making connections with other people. I think that they don't always know how to do it. I think that they come here having had some difficulty with that. Maybe they feel not very confident in their abilities. I think sometimes the social interaction aspect of life makes them very anxious, and it's not because they don't want it, but because they haven't been successful, they haven't been accepted for who they are, and they're not your average bear. They're unique and special and wonderful, I think, but sometimes people aren't always super accepting of people who view the world differently.
And navigating a large, crowded university campus can be especially overwhelming for these students.
The University of Arkansas is a huge place. There's a lot going on. There are a lot of people here. And it's important for any student to find a way to shrink it and find their own community within this large university.
And on a college campus, community starts in the dorm.
And residential life has been so accommodating and so helpful to the program. And they agreed to put our students in the Northwest Quad, which is a particular dorm that is set up as suites. So each suite has four individual bedrooms and a common room. So our students are sharing suites with each other. And this is not a requirement. Our students are welcome to live wherever they would like on campus. I just thought that for our students, having a roommate and sort of the long hallway, shared bathroom kind of freshman experience would be more than many of our students could handle or would want.
By law, all colleges and universities must accommodate special needs students. Now, Tully Kritzberg developed normally up until age 3, when he stopped speaking and began to engage in repetitive behavior. This is his dad, Evan Kritzberg.
We really noticed that when he was about 3 or 3 and a half, he would play with cars, and instead of playing with them like you would think a typical kid would, he'd just line everything up.
That was 1997, before autism was widely understood, underdiagnosed, and little discussed. Fortunately for this family, their developmental pediatrician helped them to secure intensive intervention.
It did. We pretty much threw everything at him that we could find. It was occupational therapy, speech, group therapy, educational therapy. We did auditory integration, just all kinds of stuff. We didn't want to leave any stones unturned because we thought if there's a chance to help him, we didn't want to miss one of those chances. So we took about everything we could find.
When the family moved to rural Chester, Arkansas in 2010, Tully spent lots of time outside observing the backyard chickens and collecting snails from a local creek.
You know, and this is part of his attention to detail. Like he noticed in these little freshwater snails you see in streams that there's actually a little bit of color in their shells. And I thought they were all just brown.
Turns out Tully was breeding the snails for different shell growth striations. Seeing that their son had a penchant for science, to say the least, they enrolled him at Haas Hall Academy, a college prep public charter high school in Fayetteville. And around that time, Evan Kritzberg heard about the UA's Autism Support Program launch on Ozarks at Large.
There's so many things that we all take for granted that we understand that's just unspoken in terms of doing things. Where with people on the autism spectrum, they may not, even though they may be very smart academically, some other things may completely fly by them. And this has really helped a lot to introduce them in a coordinated way to those things and take a lot of stress off of them. So it's great.
And as time goes on, his dad said, Tully is realizing the special abilities that his autism brings to him. Like all incoming freshmen, Tully had to compose a personal college entrance essay, which his mom, Cindy Kersey, says was revelatory.
I was just simply kind of surprised and proud, too, that he was seeing these things. And he was more aware, and that made me happy that he had that awareness, even if he didn't always communicate it.
And her hope for Tully?
He is able to lead a happy life and take care of himself and his family in whatever he chooses to do.
As Michael Tully Kritzberg nears graduation, support staff will help him apply for graduate school or a job. But freshman Tully, an only child, now shares living quarters with two other guys in the program, which can get hectic.
Yeah, sometimes they just kind of they just kind of go on the internet too, and it's relatively quiet.
And what is the best thing about going to the University of Arkansas for you?
The autism support program, there were a number of other colleges whose variety of selection of majors kind of rivaled this one, but none of the other ones had this. So also this is close to home. So.
And one other thing, despite the pervasive college tradition of griping about dorm food, Tully says he actually likes it.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. I mean, I sometimes hear some people complain about how it's not good, but I honestly can't see the logic. It tastes pretty good to me, so.
Spoken like a true scientist. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
To learn more about the UA Autism Support Program, go to ozarksatlarge.com or call 575-3208. The application deadline for the 2014-2015 academic year is May 1st.
Night Flight Over Water Quintet for Banjo and String Quartet. It's an original composition from Bella Fleck and performed along with Brooklyn Ryder. Hi, I'm Katie Henriksen, host of Off Note, Monday through Friday from 11 to noon on KUAF. Join me Wednesday for Night Flight Over Water, performed by Bella Fleck and Brooklyn Ryder. That's coming up 11 to noon Wednesday right here on KUAF Public Radio.
This is Ozarks at Large. The best-selling book, The Mysterious Case of the Dog in the Nighttime, and the popular television program on NBC, Parenthood, feature characters with Asperger's, an autism spectrum disorder. Characteristics of a person with Asperger's may include severe social anxiety, as well as difficulty connecting with others. One local family with experience with Asperger's is using a crowdfunding site, Indiegogo, to help fund a training and tutoring business called Nerdies. Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas has more.
So the idea here is, particularly like I'm thinking probably back in this corner is where we're going to have our gaming studio, which will be able to open up, or we'll be able to close it off. So during the week, maybe at nights if we don't have a lot of learning classes going on.
Brad Harvey walks around a large and open vacant building on College Avenue in Fayetteville. He and his wife, Mandy, have a blended family with six children between the two of them. Every grade between second and eighth is represented, other than the fourth. The fifth grader, Isaac, was recently diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome, a condition that was found by Hans Asperger in the mid-1900s. Mandy says she didn't really think something was wrong with her son. She thought he was just Isaac being Isaac.
He's always been very hard to manage. My other two kids have, like, they've never been in trouble a day in their lives. And Isaac's always been kind of like, you know. he's not motivated by the same things that my other kids are motivated by. He almost got kicked out of kindergarten, you know, when he first started. And it's, every teacher he's had has been a struggle unless they really kind of let him be himself. Because he's the, you know, epitome of a square peg in a round hole. You know, he just doesn't fit.
Thinking her son would grow out of it, they put him in baseball at the age of 8. But it turned out to be a bit of a disaster. It was dangerous for him to play. He couldn't be in the field because he wasn't paying attention, and he refused to swing the bat. She says sports are a very natural thing for your kids to be involved in. Learning teamwork, getting exercise, there are a lot of good things that come from being involved in sports. But it just wasn't working for Isaac. They did try football, with Brad coaching, thinking the motivation by his father would be helpful.
About halfway through, you know, he finally said to me one day, he said, you know, I think it may be something else other than just Isaac being Isaac. And until that moment, I hadn't really even thought that it may be another reason why he can't do cross steps, or he, you know, just is so literal, or his motor, he couldn't catch the ball. He couldn't hardly throw the ball, really. I mean, at least not well. And then we started looking into, you know, what the symptoms, what it is about him that makes him different. And I thought it was high-functioning autism.
Heightened sensitivity. Isaac hates to wear tight clothing. Undeveloped motor skills. Depression. One-sided conversations about a favorite subject are just a few of the symptoms of Asperger's. Dr. Marianne Scott is a neuropsychologist with the Schmieding Developmental Center in Lowell.
Children who have difficulty developing close relationships with others, who are interested in sharing information but not exchanging ideas.
After a year-long wait, Mandy and Brad got their son into the Schmieding Center. Dr. Scott was one of two doctors that helped in just one day with Isaac's diagnosis.
Well, we collect a lot of information from others that interact with the child on a daily basis, from teachers, therapists, parents. We collect a lot of developmental history, and then we interact with the child in both structured activities like intelligence testing and academic testing, and then also in contrived social situations. So currently there is a new diagnostic instrument called the Autism Diagnostic Observation Schedule that sets up several different scenarios in the evaluation room with the child where they have to exchange information, respond to imaginative play and storytelling, answer questions about feelings and relationships.
There are no determined causes for Asperger's, and Dr. Scott says there has recently been some debate as to whether or not Asperger's is different enough from autism spectrum disorders to warrant its own diagnosis.
You know, I mean, Isaac's Isaac. And he's amazing, and I wouldn't change him. But the diagnosis made me understand him in a way that I never did. And it gave me so much more patience for him and let him off the hook for just being a kid who doesn't want to be good. You know, and he has grown tremendously in this last year since the diagnosis.
Mandy says she no longer feels like a bad parent, and Isaac no longer feels like a bad kid. After receiving suggestions for therapy and tips on how to build social skills and encourage proper behavior, and with the help of a supportive and understanding teacher, Isaac went from special ed at the beginning of the fourth grade to gifted and talented by the end of the fourth grade. Isaac's goals for his fifth grade year are to make more friends by asking people more questions. The way they talk to and motivate Isaac has changed. Mandy is now understanding of what he wears, no longer forcing him to wear jeans or things with tags.
The major change that I think I've seen in him is now he knows he's a smart kid. You know, when they did all their benchmark testing and all of that, he is, I think, one of the very few in his school that tested at an advanced level or the high, top 10% in both math and reading, which is kind of unique to him. And so, you know, now that he understands more about his Asperger's, and we talked to a lot to him about other people with Asperger's, like Bill Gates, and that Einstein probably had Asperger's, and Steven Spielberg, and like, what an incredible gift you have to be able to have that kind of mind.
While taking their younger son to batting practice at a location in Springdale, Brad got to thinking, why isn't there somewhere like this for Isaac, whose interests surround video gaming and building mods in Minecraft? And so the idea for Nerdies was born, a place for, as Brad says, the smart kids to go to learn and socialize. Nerdies focuses on that population of people who often just don't fit in or have activities that are geared toward them. They don't like sports, are 6 times more likely to play video games than to ride a bike, could care less about the social scene, paying no attention to the latest fashion trends, or care whether or not they're in the popular crowd. They are a group of smart, inquisitive people who love to learn, explore new areas, and just be themselves. Not only for Isaac, the couple's 2 daughters have an interest in learning programs such as Illustrator and producing music. It's a place for techies to get some training. Brad's undergraduate degree is in math, and in college, he owned his own tutoring company.
I have a little bit of background in that, and I just kind of thought, well, what a great place that we could bring everybody and give not only kids, but adults opportunities to kind of pursue the things that they love.
He also has a technical background. Couple that with trying to highlight the amazing things Isaac is interested in, and the idea for Nerdies was born.
Kids that want to be smart, and what is so interesting, I grew up when being a nerd was not cool at all. And luckily, I had sports. I played sports growing up and had that, but kind of as a budding mathematician, so to speak, I didn't have that place to really dive into what I thought was cool and fun in mathematics until I got to college. You know, and I kind of joke that, you know, maybe that had a place like Nerdies before, maybe I'd have gone to MIT instead of Texas Tech University. Which is a close second, by the way.
Brad says that right now, the fundraising stage, they're learning what will need to be offered. It will be totally focused on what their nerds want. Brad mentions a robotics course, building and fighting robots. Fun, but yet they'll learn circuitry and teamwork. Nerdies has received an outpouring of support from techies and programmers that echo Brad's sentiment, that if only they'd had someplace like this to go while they were growing up. Those techies and programmers are offering to teach here. Brad says they chose to go the crowdfunding route as opposed to other means of funding, partly due to the popularity of crowdfunding in the tech community, and thought they could reach a lot of people this way. But they also wanted to see what the response to the idea would be. Their goal is $60,000, and with less than a month to go on their Indiegogo campaign, there's still a ways to go. But one look at the empty, bare-floored and bare-walled one-roomed building, and it's clear why they need the money.
So, as you can see, obviously the space isn't finished out. We're going to have to do a lot of work so we need to put in bathrooms. We need to do a lot of stuff, including heating and AC. This area right here, kind of in this far left corner, is probably our learning center. So in this area, we plan on having, like, let's say 10 Mac computers from Apple so that we have the software.
Here's Dr. Scott on Nerdies.
I think it's an excellent opportunity to create extracurricular recreational activities that might bring children together with similar interests.
Isaac and the Harvey's other children are excited for the space to open.
He's just ready to come game. He is way past excited. He said, I thought he may be on the news, and he was like, epic, I'm famous. Thinks is pretty cool right now.
No, they're extremely excited. I mean, Isaac, I'm coming home now, and he's like, I need you to come in here and look at this Xbox. Let me show you how to set up Xbox Live. And because I'm talking to him, I'm like, Isaac, I'm going to need your help to figure out how to make this gaming studio work. And so, boy, he's all over it. The other kids, of course, are like, oh, this is going to be great. Are you kidding me? We can take a class, and we can do all these fun things.
After school, on weekends, and in the summer, what kid wouldn't want to get an hour of tutoring in exchange for an hour of Xbox? The plan is to have an innovative and comfortable gaming studio. And it isn't just for kids. Brad hopes to hold corporate retreats for those companies looking to build teams in a different fashion. For more information or to make a contribution to Nerdies, search Facebook for NERDIES. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas. Thank you.
It is Tuesday, November 5th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Sun Newspapers, is with me. How are you?
I'm great. How
good.
Are you?
Very good. Thank you.
You know, we are roughly the same age.
Mm-hmm.
To me, wine was strawberry, Boone's Farm strawberry out of a bottle. But there's quite a wine culture now in Northwest Arkansas.
Yes.
That
yes.
doesn't include that.
No.
And if you're interested in wine culture, Eureka Springs Food and Wine Weekend is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And they promised to introduce you to Uruguayan wines.
I'm game.
Yeah, sure. Why not? They say that Uruguay, as of 2011, is fifth behind France, Italy, Spain, and the United States.
Hmm.
Or rather, Argentina is.
Yeah, okay.
And Uruguay is a distant 24th.
Okay.
So you'll get to learn all sorts of new things. There's also food all over Eureka Springs and wine tastings. And it should be great fun. And lectures led by Doug Hostler of Keels Creek Winery and Greg Schneider of Railway Winery. All happening at Keels Creek. The Grand Tavern Restaurant is having special entertainment, Jerry Yester of the Love and Spoonful, along with special meals, and Arkansas Red on the 8th, which is Friday. And other restaurants and businesses participating include Cuisine Karen, Garden Bistro, the Crystal Dining Room, KJ's Carib Restaurant, the Writer's Colony at Dairy Hollow, the Balcony Bar and Restaurant, and the Eureka Springs Farmers Market.
All over the place in Eureka.
You can find out more at EurekaSpringsFoodAndWine.com.
Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Now I know people want a story, one ending with glory and the wave of their flag.
My first encounter with the head and the heart was at Kane's Ballroom in Tulsa last fall. Side note, if you've never been, you really should go. The historic venue is magic. I was vaguely familiar with the band's music by the time of the concert, but I was blown away by their live performance. The record, while solid, seemed more mellow and didn't quite prepare me for the group's powerful stage presence. They also won me over with a very poignant song about the inevitable change and loss that comes with life. I was facing a potential loss at the time, and in that moment, the song expressed exactly what my heart felt, but couldn't say. The Head and the Heart recently released 13 new songs on the sophomore album, Let's Be Still. The Seattle-based band's self-titled debut album, which was released by Sub Pop in 2011, became one of the label's best-selling debut releases in years. According to the band's website, the new record is a snapshot of a band that didn't exist 4 years ago. Vocalist and violinist Charity Rose Thielen says the first record was very thematic, but she's not sure there's a theme this time around. However, there are things that stick out, like the idea of going from busking to becoming a touring band. An issue that stood out to me is the idea of loss. The track Fire Feel explores what happens when you lose an emotional connection with someone, even though they're still physically near. 10,000 Weight in Gold talks about losing yourself as well as family when you're constantly traveling. These Days Are Numbered is a haunting track addressing the loss of life.
There's always hope, hope in death. It brands these bonds, refines the rest. Cause these days are numbered.
Simplicity works for this song, and it's something the band can do well. Then again, perhaps I'm biased because I appreciate simplicity. Echo-tinged vocals, which are scattered throughout the album, lead me to believe the musicians had more time and wanted to try more in terms of production this time around. However, they're often unnecessary because this band doesn't need special effects to sound good. The track titled Josh McBride reminds me more of their debut album, with its calm but layered tune and the vocalist's soothing harmonies.
Take me to the attic ladder.
members point to the track titled Another Story as a moment that embodies their collective creative spirit. According to the group's website, Jonathan Russell, one of the band's six members, wrote the song shortly after the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting, but he hadn't shown it to anyone in the band except Josiah Johnson. One day, Russell started performing the song while taking a break from tracking. One by one, a bandmate would walk in, grab their instrument, and start playing along. "We didn't talk about it," Russell says. "We didn't have to go back and rearrange anything. It was all there." Josiah Johnson says the song was undeniable and the vibe didn't change from when he was playing it acoustically. Everybody just lifted it up in the way that this band does.
These are just flames burning in your fireplace. I hear your voice and it seems as if it was all a dream. I wish it was all a dream.
Please don't misunderstand. While this band clearly knows how to craft a slow, solemn song, they can just as easily rock out to a more upbeat, catchy tune. Shake, for example, was the perfect first single to release to promote excitement for the upcoming album. With a sophomore album, especially after having a successful debut album, is the expectation that comes along with it. There's a smaller body of work to represent a band, and that can make it more difficult for musicians who want to grow their sound. The Head and the Heart has been successful in walking that fine line of trying new things the second time around, but still maintaining parts that are very uniquely them. Key characteristics like harmonies, an arsenal of instruments, and repetitive lyrics sung over the top of swelling music are still there. While different, this album is still very much a product of The Head and the Heart. If you want to catch the band live, the closest concert with tickets still available is scheduled for November 15th at Southside Ballroom in Dallas. To check for additional dates that may be added to the tour, you can visit theheadandtheheart.com.
You can get lost in the music for hours, honey. You can get lost in a room. We can play music for hours and hours, but the sun will still be coming up soon. The world's just spinning a little too fast. If things don't slow down soon, we might not last. So just for a moment, let's be still.
And this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
There are 56 days left in 2013 and approximately 1 million events, concerts, parades, panels, symposiums in our area between now and then. To help you keep up with the schedule, we offer a handful of items that are worth noting. Thursday night, the Fort Smith Regional Art Theater, or RAM, celebrates Winslow Homer. The reception Thursday night from 5 until 7 will offer patrons a first look at the temporary exhibit Winslow Homer and the American Pictorial Press in America. The exhibit celebrates the illustrations Homer did for periodicals like Harper's Weekly before he began to concentrate on painting. The invention of the electrotype, the printing plate formed by the electrochemical process that binds metal to a plaster and wax mold, allowed the mass production and quick turnaround of illustrations and text to be printed simultaneously. It was a relatively inexpensive and quick process, and the plates were a key element that allowed the industrial press of the 1800s to churn out hundreds of editions every hour. Approximately 50 prints are on display and are selected from the original newspaper editions. The prints in the exhibition were drawn by Homer and his fellow illustrators. You can learn more about the exhibit and Thursday night's event at F. www.fsram.org.
Next week, the Fayetteville Public Library will again begin what has become something of a seasonal tradition, Food for Fees Week. The concept is pretty simple. Donated non-perishable food items can be brought to the library to help reduce any library fines that might be outstanding. Library patrons will get a dollar credit for each can or package of food donated during the drive. Food for Fees does not cover replacement fees for lost or damaged materials and fees for losses that are in billing or collection stages. Donated food will be given to Cooperative Emergency Outreach and Feed Fayetteville. Items especially needed include peanut butter, canned tuna fish or chicken, beans, canned soup, or fruit and cereal. For more information, you can call the checkout desk at 856-7113.
The University of Arkansas Department of Music will offer three more concerts this week. Tomorrow night, four small student combos will perform jazz from bebop to gypsy inside the Stella Boyle Smith Concert Hall, which is inside the Fine Arts Center on the UA campus. Music begins tomorrow night at 8. Friday night at 7:30, also inside the Stella Boyle Smith Concert Hall, the Boston Mountain Brass Works will perform. Both of those concerts, the student jazz and the Boston Mountain Brass Works, are free and open to the public. Now, also Friday night, the UA Schola Cantorum and the American Guild of Organists present a concert at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in downtown Fayetteville. That concert will begin at 7:30. More information about the university concerts can be found at music.uark.edu.
A different kind of music is scheduled for November 18th in Eureka Springs. B.B. King will be at the City Auditorium that night. It's a Monday. Ticket prices begin at $95 and may be purchased at theaud, that's AUD.org. And just some B.B. King numbers for you. During his career, he's released more than 60 albums and he's been awarded 15 Grammy Awards. He's also a member of both the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Blues Foundation Hall of Fame.
And registration is now open online for the annual Rogers Christmas Parade. It will take place December 2nd at 7 p.m. To enter a float or group, you can go to mainstreetrogers.com, then look for the link to the registration page. This year's parade will feature the theme Holidays Around the World. The parade is one of more than 10 events planned for Holiday Hoopla in downtown Rogers, coordinated by Main Street Rogers. Deadline for entries for the parade is Friday. Entry fees, $20 for floats, that's trailers pulled by a vehicle, or decorated vehicles, walking or marching units, and $30 for groups featuring more than one vehicle, such as car clubs. All entries must be lighted and decorated for the holiday. That seems only fair. Additionally, no entry gets to have Santa Claus as a guest because he will be the guest of honor at the end of the parade on his very own special float. This is Ozarks at Large. Voters in Arkansas a year from now will see not just candidates from the Republican and Democrat parties on the ballot, but Libertarian candidates as well. The Arkansas Secretary of State has verified the Libertarian Party of Arkansas submitted enough valid signatures, more than 10,000, to be included on the 2014 ballot. The signatures had to be submitted because the National Party's candidate for president in 2012, Gary Johnson, failed to receive 3% of the vote in Arkansas. Jessica Paxson is the chair of the Libertarian Party of Arkansas, and she joins me on the phone from her home in Marion. Jessica, welcome to Ozarks at Large.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what did it take to collect the really more than 12,000 valid signatures that you turned in to the Secretary of State's office?
Well, it's a long process that took about a year from start to finish. First, we start with fundraising. We, you know, gathered funds from libertarians across the state and even the country who have a vested interest in seeing, you know, liberty candidates on their ballot. And so we started with the fundraising, and then we brought in some petitioners who spent, let's see, 9 weeks, I believe, full-time collecting signatures from registered voters in Arkansas. We collected 16,505 signatures, and of those, about 12,500 were valid, meaning that they were able to match up that name in the database of the Secretary of State's office, showing that they're a registered voter. And now we have been verified that at least 10,000 of those are valid, and now we have to fill out some paperwork to get our actual certification. And once we have that in hand, we are able to run partisan candidates in any race in Arkansas in 2014, from governor down to local partisan races.
I know that there are some people who have already suggested they might be interested in a gubernatorial candidacy. Any idea how many candidates you would have throughout the state by this time next year?
I believe we're probably looking at 50 or so Libertarian candidates. Back in 2012, we had 14. It was our first bout with ballot access. And of those 14, we actually one was elected. So we're looking to field hopefully 50 candidates or so. We would love to see Libertarians running in all of those statewide races. We also have people interested in running in all four of the congressional districts, have a couple people interested in seeking our nomination for the Senate seat. We've had lots of requests come in for people who are interested in being a candidate for state House and state Senate races. We actually have three announced candidates for the gubernatorial race. One is Frank Gilbert, a former mayor of Tull, Arkansas, and the first elected Libertarian in Arkansas. Another is Sean Hipskind of Alexander. He's a businessman and author. And another is Glenn Schwartz. He's an activist there in the Little Rock area. So we are looking forward to having a gubernatorial debate at our nominating convention in February. It's February 21st through 23rd in Little Rock. So that we can hear what these guys have to say before we cast our ballots to have them represent us in that race.
So you will have your candidate decided by the end of February.
Correct.
And if your gubernatorial candidate receives 3% of the vote in the 2014 general election, you will not have to go through the signature verification with the Secretary of State to get on the 2016 ballot.
Exactly. Should our gubernatorial nominee receive that 3%, that's you know, a huge step for us looking forward to 2016, because the entire process to get on the ballot is pretty exhausting. It takes a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of our resources, and it would be amazing if we could just start right out of the gate with ballot access in 2016 without having to exhaust ourselves with just trying to get on the ballot. That's what happens with third-party candidates, is that, well, we spend all of our time and energy just to get their name on the ballot, and then, you know, what we have left over isn't enough to support them as well as we'd like. So we would sure love for our gubernatorial candidate to get that 3% and allow us to, you know, start, you know, November 2014, looking forward to November 2016.
3 out of every 100 voters doesn't sound like a tall order until you look at how much money has been raised by the Republican and Democratic candidates for governor, and then it does seem like getting 3% in a gubernatorial statewide race will be a challenge.
Well, it will be a challenge. I'm not going to mince words there. It will be a challenge. But here's the thing. It really shouldn't be. A couple years ago, a Zogby poll came out that said that it was between 50 and 60% of respondents agreed with the statement that they identified as fiscally conservative and socially liberal. Well, those people are Libertarians. And just last month, I believe a Gallup poll came out that said 60% of people said that Republicans and Democrats are doing such a poor job of representing them that we need a strong third party in this country. So people are ready. If they could get rid of that wasted voter syndrome and vote for their principles, well, that 60% of people would be voting Libertarian, and Libertarians would be running this country and leaving you alone to live in peace and keep your money in your pocket and stay out of your personal life. So it's just a matter of reaching people and having them understand that, you know, when you vote third party, Libertarian, Green, you're not wasting your vote. You are sending a message. And if people are serious about wanting a major third party in this country, then they're going to have to say it at the ballot box.
Jessica Paxson is the chair of the Libertarian Party of Arkansas. The party will be included on the 2014 ballot in Arkansas. Jessica, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, how soon before we can dump our bulky wallets and replace them with digital ones?
Ultimately, digital wallets are safer than your actual wallet in your pocket. That said, there's still a long way to go before consumers are comfortable using these things, I think.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
NPR's Here and Now is next, beginning at 1 on KUAF.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation, a listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Cane Hill.
Cane Hill, mm-hmm. Where this weekend, three historic monuments.
Markers.
Markers. Mm-hmm. Markers will be placed.
Yes, very exciting.
Takes place on Saturday, I believe.
I believe so.
Tomorrow on the program, all sorts of interesting things. The Austin Lounge Lizards, a legendary band from Austin, Texas, were in Fayetteville this weekend. They had a show Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday, the first hour of the Pick and Post with Mike Shirky, they came into the Furman Garden Performance Studio and played an hour of live music.
Oh, fun. I missed that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And so one of the songs from that live performance on the radio will be on the program tomorrow.
Awesome. Looking forward to that.
Also, new developments for the Amazium, which will be located. It's not built yet. Will be located in Bentonville. And details about that on tomorrow's edition as well.
And this is the Children's Museum. It was called Northwest Arkansas Children's Museum for a long time as they've been raising funds. But more recently, they've rebranded. Is that the right word?
Sure.
Officially, they'll be called the Amazium.
Right.
But it's a children's museum.
They've launched a new capital campaign. Part of that, a big chunk of that came in. And that announcement being made. So we'll have that on tomorrow's show, mm-hmm. as well as some information about Edible Ozarkansas.
Mm-hmm. A new quarterly magazine focusing on food and culture in the area. So that'll be on as well.
All of that tomorrow on a brand new edition at noon. You and Christina Thomas will be hosting.
We will.
Once again, thanks to everyone who in the last part of October contributed to KUAF during our fundraiser.
Yes, that wrapped up last Thursday.
Yes, it was Thursday.
All the days are starting to blur together.
Yes,
for
they
me.
Do.
I mean, we counted everything that came in through the mail and online through the entire month of October, but we were on the air for about 8 days.
Right.
And that concluded on Halloween last Thursday. And yeah, thanks to all of the volunteers, the phone volunteers who came in and answered phones and took pledges. Thanks to all of the local restaurants who helped keep everybody fed. Thanks to the staff for doing different jobs as far as being on air and things like that. And thanks to, again, all of our listeners who called in and made their pledge or pledged online. Though the on-air portion is done, you can support us any time of the year simply by going to our website, supportkuaf.com.
Thank you so much. You keep the programs on that you like to hear, mm-hmm. and we do appreciate that. You have a busy week this week?
Yes. Yes, I had to think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to spend some time at the Elizabeth Richardson Center today, and we'll have a story about that on Thursday's edition of Ozarks at Large. 50 years. They're celebrating 50 years.
You say 50 years like that's, you know, I mean, it's very impressive, but it's not. They're just getting started.
Well, yeah, but I think that's a long time for an organization like that.
It is.
Not a person.
I'm just a little
an organization.
Sensitive, that's all.
I couldn't tell. Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. And Thursday night, I'm planning on going to the Art Center of the Ozarks for their 5x5 jazz soiree.
Always a big deal.
Always a big deal. It's always a good time. It's admission is $10, and then you get some snacks and try some wine, listen to some jazz, and bid on some art, the little 5x5 palettes that they make.
Yeah, I've got a few of those around my house, actually.
Mm-hmm. So I have that planned for this week.
Well, very good. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Thanks so much for listening. Another brand new edition of Ozarks tomorrow at noon. Antoinette will be with Christina Thomas.
Have a happy Tuesday.